Welcome to the Music 3.0 podcast from Plus Music. Today, we're sitting down with CEO of Surf Music, Ken Kabori. Surf Music is a digital marketplace where creators can sell their music to the entire global sync and songwriter industry. Ken also talks to us about his success as a songwriter and producer in Japan, as it goes by Two Soul. We talk about how Surf helps artists get exclusive placements of their music across the globe with a little help from AI. We also discuss the perils of curating and managing a large library of music in the age of AI. How do you know if a submission is real? So stay tuned as we dive into all things music and tech with Ken Kabori and Surf Music here on the Music 3.0 podcast. Ken Kabori, welcome to the Plus Music podcast. We know you're the CEO of Surf Music. Appreciate you joining us today from Oahu, Hawaii. Ken, we'd like to open the show just for you to give us maybe a couple-minute bio here to our listeners who might not know of Surf Music or about your background. Why don't you go ahead and tell us a bit about Surf and yourself to get this started?
Yeah, sure. Hi, nice to meet you guys. You know, it's great. Thank you for having me on the show. My name is Ken Kabori, and I've been a music producer for over 20 years now. And I started off working at Sony Music Studios in New York when it still existed as a general assistant. And from there, I was assisting on a lot of sessions with a lot of big artists. And after seeing that whole process, I was like, maybe I could do this also. And just from that gut feeling, I started making music, made 3 songs, went to Japan to pitch it. And I got offered several artist deals from major labels, and I actually signed with Universal Music as an artist. While I was thinking of the concepts of my album and whatnot, you know, Universal approached me and was like, would you like to write for other artists while you do that? I was like, sure, why not? And I went to a live show of this girl called Ai. She was very good, and I decided to write for her. And after writing for her, for the second song that we released, I believe we have the 7th most sung karaoke song in Japanese history, and it's called Story. Yeah, it was early in my career that I was lucky, I guess. It's all about timing, as everyone knows. And then from there, you know, I was signed to a big management company for about 10 years. And when I left that management company, I was having a really difficult time finding new artists to work with, meeting record label people and whatnot, just because I was always locked up in the studio making music. So, you know, the usual suspects I would have asking to write songs. I was doing that, but I was like, you know, what if I could just have a page online where I could just upload all my new songs as they're completed and have record labels, publishers, and artists be able to select it for exclusive placement. So essentially like a digital management agency kind of simple concept. And from there, we developed Surf Music. And Surf Music is a B2B platform that connects anybody in the world that makes music to the buyers, which are record labels, publishers, and artists for exclusive placement. And we've designed it so that, the creator side is very focused on community and collaboration. And the buyer side is more of a tech tool, like a Microsoft Office kind of tool where it consolidates all their all the apps that they have to use for their daily, song discovery process into one. So the platform is created really from existing problems that I have felt as a creator, and also, you know, from the buyer's perspective. And I did actually work as an A&R for Universal Music for about 2 years. And this was back in the day when they'd hand me like 300 CDs and be like, choose the hit song. And it was a long process. And I was just like, why can't we make this any easier? And Surf Music has succeeded in doing that. And we've been able to sign up pretty much all the major labels in Japan as paid subscribers. And we have a couple in Korea too. And also in Taiwan, we're opening up markets, and also in the US. we have buyers on that end too. So it's like, you know, a global ecosystem for the music industry that, you know, we intended to pave the way really for the next generation of creators and being able to educate them not only on the music creative aspect of it, but also on the business side, because there's, you know, as we all know, there's a lot of exploitation of younger creators who really don't know the business. And if they're offered $600 to buy out a track with no royalties for some kids, they're like, wow, this is great, you know. But in reality, artists are making millions on the other end, and you know, and it's really sad to see that. And really? You know, our mission really is to create that transparent platform for, you know, the creators so that they can feel safe and find collaborators to collaborate with, and being able to place music in regions that they really have no reach in either. So it's you know, that's what surf music in a nutshell is. And yes.
Super interesting, Ken. So a couple questions just for clarification for the audience. Is surf music then, is it primary focus is to get syncs for the artists? Like I'm a musician, I come to surf, I put my music up, I upload it, I clear my rights, I say, yeah, I own the master and publishing of this song. I can do a deal sort of with the marketplace of buyers on your side. Am I right there?
Well, it's not really sync, because all we do is exclusive placements right now. So basically all the music that you upload can't be released anywhere else, because a lot of artists, especially in Asia, they're a little bit hesitant to use music that's already out there. They want something that's never been heard before and that's fresh, and we place it for exclusive placements. So the traditional, you know, like once an A&R puts in a brief request, like, oh, I'm looking for this kind of song, it gets shot out to all the producers. And from there, the producers could click on the brief and read it. And they can also find, click on the URL references. And once they click that, they have an option for the AI to search through their catalog to see if any of those songs fit the brief. And if it does, you just click, submit. And from there, a hold can be placed to the song, and eventually leading to a release. So it's like basically the process of music discovery that has been going on for years and years, except we're using AI and we're using our platform in order to make these transactions smoother. And on top of that, you know, a lot of times when you place music abroad, there might be a middleman that introduces you to the record label or makes a placement. And of course, they're going to increase the price of the track fee just so that they get a cut of it from it. And then also take from the creator side if a placement is made. But we don't take any royalties or commission when we place music. And so I think that's what differentiates us with any other service out there.
So let me, if you don't mind, I'm asking another basic question just to get more clarification. When you say placements, what do you mean by placements?
So placements is like, say, for example, an artist in Japan is looking for their next single.
Got it. So you're connecting an artist who needs repertoire.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And then you're connecting that artist with your network of writers, of musicians who can submit their repertoire to be chosen by that artist or that label or whatever. It's so correct. This isn't about the end concern, the sort of the sync world, the like placements, you know, in another word. Like
this is before that.
That's why I was confused, because placements, it could also mean
sync placements, correct?
Got it. So it's like placements into somebody's repertoire. That's
yes,
cool.
It's an exclusive placement. So once it's sold, you can't resell it to other people and whatnot.
Got it.
Unless you have authorization from the record label and the publisher.
So it's very similar, even to like the
kind of Holland, Dozier Holland, and even old Nashville, kind of where writers would pitch their songs to labels and publishers that had artists that had music to go out and make a hit.
Exactly.
Gotcha. That's fantastic. Okay, very cool. Now, my other question, because the one thing that really caught my attention is it has to be unreleased music. Now, there's so many artists out there, I like to think myself included, that have songs that they may have released, and maybe it was a track 8 or 9 on an album that didn't get a lot of traction. You know, it came out of maybe in the early 2000s, kind of died on the vine. But it's not saying that it's not still a great song that could be done by somebody and be made.
And you have a great point there. And when it has been released somewhere else, at least on the Asia side, it's considered a cover song because someone else sang it and you're covering that song. So it doesn't become a new original song. So that's just, cover songs are very popular in Japan too. And, you know, a lot of artists do cover albums and sing songs that they like. So in those cases, we can actually shoot out briefs from Surf Music to all our creators saying that here's a sync opportunity. You could upload, you know, submit your songs to this opportunity. Once they click, you know, and they upload their songs, all this gets sent directly to a playlist in that A&R's on the A&R Surf page, so that everything is consolidated. And you know, by them like, you know, specifying a URL that is connected to a song that they want it to sound like, our system pulls out a 3D image of that waveform and puts 120 data points to it to find the closest match song in our entire catalog too. So, you know,
that's interesting. Hey, Ken, I have a question I would assume if I'm thinking this, maybe the audience would want to understand a little bit better about like the Asian sort of celebrity and music market and like how it works out there. Would it be safe to say that, you know, because I've had some exposure to other parts of the world in the way that they kind of blend entertainment, right? So there'll be a model or like somebody who's on a TV show and then she'll also have 3 albums out, and there's like they just become these like uber entertainers. Is that how it works in Asia? Is it different, or am I wrong? Or because here
it's different. It's different per artist, and I would say there are a lot of models and actresses, actors that actually go into music and are very successful, and others that don't do so well. There's a lot of like idol groups that start out singing but then go into acting. So it really depends on the artist.
Would you say that it's more because it's less, there's less of the crossover in like sort of, I guess, US entertainment, because people tend to be brand oriented, like I'm an actor, I'm a musician. It's very rare that there's crossover. You know, you can kind of count them on your hands. The JTs, you know, the people that like go you know, they've sort of been in entertainment their entire lives.
In that sense, yes, I think, you know, it might be a little more common. You know, for especially a lot of the actors in Japan, it's... you know, if you're in the music industry and you release an album, yes, you get your royalties and this and that, but the real money really comes from the commercials, right? And once they get, they become an actor, then all these, you know, these commercials, these opportunities start to expand, and the management loves this because obviously they're managing this this artist, and there's incomes from different directions, and I think, you know, that's all. It's all part of the ecosystem of the entertainment industry.
What's the trend in Japanese or Asian, what's new over there? What's like the new style of music? Is it still pop driven, or is there anything coming up different up there?
I think, you know, after BTS's success, global success, Blackpink, a lot of the K-pop acts going global, a lot of Japanese artists who are very focused on J-pop music is now veering towards more Western sounding songs to try and, you know, gain, follow them in the footsteps of BTS and Blackpink. And I think, you know, our platform is positioned perfectly for that because, you know, I'd say about 98% of our creators on board right now are from the US, are from, you know, outside of Japan. And the sound that a lot of the record labels in Japan and Korea are looking for are more Western driven right now. So I think, you know, it's, I think that's, you know, there's been a lot of K-pop, I must say.
Yeah.
It's surprising to me that like country music hasn't been more of a target with Asian markets. Cause I mean, it's without a doubt what sells the most records in America these days.
It does. And, you know, I think, I don't know why, but like I personally love country music. I listen to Rascal Flatts, you know, like I love all that, you know. And, you know, I think, you know, artists such as like Brelin, you know, he kind of broke into that Western, but gave it that R&B hip hop twist to it. And he's been very successful at that too. So I think, you know, it's just a matter of someone, you know, cracking open that can in Japan of country music where people are like, the melodies are beautiful. The harmonies are amazing. I mean, to me, it seems like if it is done right, I think, you know, it could definitely have a chance in the Asian markets. It's just that we need that one daring artist to try and, you know, step in that genre, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It would be so cool though. So let me ask you a couple of things. I want to take a little bit of a turn, just kind of more into your like tech and the platform of Surf Music.
Sure.
I'm curious to, so AI, I mean, it's kind of the word of the week that's lasted for the last 52 weeks. It's the buzz right now. Was Surf Music kind of built around the notion of AI, or did AI come later? And you found it just to be a useful application in how your platform runs.
Okay, so AI came later. As I said before, you know, are we all you know, the grit of Surf Music is really, you know, here to solve problems in the industry. So we started off with the beta version, which was very simple. You could upload your music. And then, you know, our staff will curate playlists and whatnot. And the record labels could kind of do a filter search through all the songs to find the closest match. But the hard part with that was that we had to manually tag every song. And at that time, we had about maybe 2,000 to 3,000 songs. And trying to accurately tag that internally was really, really tedious. And it was getting to a point where we're like, you know, we can't scale. How are we trying to get, like, if we try to get a million songs in there, who's going to be tagging all this? It's kind of like where this whole idea of the AI started. And then we're like, we found out there's, you know, technology out there that could automatically tag your songs for you. And then also furthermore, like, you know, once we had all that tagging done, you know, even though people did like a splice type of filter search by genre, BPM parameters and whatnot, it was still a lot of songs to go through. So we're like, you know, wouldn't it be great if we could just cut and paste a URL from YouTube, Spotify, or whatever, and you'll find the closest matching song. And as an A&R, you know, that would be like the dream tool, like to be able to find music this quickly. And while they're getting submissions for songs, having the most relevant ones come up on top, even though they have like 300 songs submitted, you know, the percentages, the percentage of match will be shown on the right of the song. And so literally, you know, they could stop listening once it goes down below 10% similarity if they want to, or they could just listen to the whole thing. So AI, you know, definitely did come afterwards. And, you know, the theme of AI is really big within Surf also. And I think it's more about, you know, using AI responsibly and using AI in a way that supports the creators and makes their lives easier, supports the buyers in making their song selection process easier, so forth and so on. So,
hey, you know, Ken,
yes.
Question about AI. So, got it. You guys are using it as a technical tool on both sides. Mm-hmm. Sounds interesting, and it's a great that's a better version of search and discovery for sure. I agree. Like AI is totally gonna make that problem that used to exist go away for sure.
Yeah.
How do you know an artist didn't make their music with an AI and then send it to you?
Well, we don't know that, and there's really, you know, no way for us to detect, but we can detect if a song has been released somewhere before, like a Shazam-like feature, so that they won't be able to upload it to the marketplace. And when they upload their, you know, when they create their Surf account and upload music, they can select which ones are put on the marketplace and which ones are just, you know, stored on the cloud so that they can have easy access to it. So in terms of AI, that's the whole debate of what's original, you know, what's original and what's not. And I think when I first started music, you know, back in like, you know, 2000, making music in 2002, it was like that big sampling remix, you know, era. And to me, it was like, I wanted to play everything on my track and I never used samples. And that was my hard head thinking, that's original music. And then, like, you know, Splice comes out and, you know, all these sounds are already mixed for you and it's so much easier. But using other people's music, you know, performances in your catalog is still, in your song is still considered original now, right? And so what's the next step, you know?
It's not much different than getting a band together. You don't play bass, so you go to get a bass player who plays bass.
Yeah,
you just don't have to deal with that person. And you might be in like Timbuktu, Arkansas, and you know, whatever. So like, I asked that question because I think it's the more interesting conversation of today, right? Which is, like one, you know, so I'll lead us down the path just for a random discussion. This is outside of surf stuff, right? But like, I think it's going to affect a lot of different folks in the industry in different ways, right? Like one, you know, there's always the whether it came from an AI or somebody else, like could have copied a song, could have redone it, changed a few things here and there and tried to pass it off as their own. Eventually down the road, that'll get discovered, you know, especially at success. Second things are like, you know, now we have AI tools that can do something similar to that, right? Which is like, hey, make a song that sounds like X and make it for me. And that artist might be totally under the impression that what they just made is theirs. And if it's and so they may be totally, you know, I guess in this case, just naive to the fact that maybe that model that trained that AI is now producing music that isn't derivative of that person's mind and art form, right?
Yeah.
The big question that everybody says is, oh, is any real art, like original art, actually being put out?
You're inspired. Yeah, I mean, it goes back to, as a musician, who are you? Your influences, right? It's like, you know, I listen to Oscar Peterson, Joshua Redman growing up, you know, this, and if I trained an AI with this, with learning all these of my favorite artists and it generates songs that's to my likings, is that really my music? I mean, I think it's that gray line where, you know, if you prompt the AI to create the music, as of right now, it is your IP, right? It's your original song because you're the one that, you know, prompt. So maybe prompting, you know, there was that, you know, in back in the day, there was that saying, oh, he's a finger producer, like, you know, but then finger producers became the norm. And now what? He's a prompting producer. I don't know. Like there's really no way to distinguish whether it was created by AI or not that I know of. But, you know, not to say that we're gonna ban everything that's, you know, that people use AI tools to create. I mean, there are songs on our platform where they use the voice changing AI to make it sound like someone else, just because they don't like their voice. Like, a lot of creators don't like to hear their own voice on their songs, and they change the voice. But, you know, they're actually singing it and using AI to switch the voiceover. But that's just for, you know, a presentation. That's for a presentation. We will never release it that way. I mean,
it's a great presentation. If you were to like A&R for like, yeah, I need Alicia Keys needs a song. Okay, cool.
Yeah,
let me just turn the Alicia Keys like knob on, and like, you sing the song. It sounds like her singing it. She's like, shit, I did pretty good on there. I mean, you did. And it's like, that's a pretty great way to demo a track to somebody who you're going about to sell it to, right? And then you turn around and put the Jay-Z version or the whatever version, and just send it back to a bunch of different artists. It's a pretty interesting way to present work. You know,
and that's exactly how, you know, like Michael Jackson chose his songs, even from like from Rodney Jerkins. Rodney had this singer that sounded exactly like Michael, and doing the and all that, you know, like in the demo. And then Michael was like, oh yeah, one of my friends was in that session, and he was just like, you know, the dude sounded exactly like Michael Jackson, and Michael was feeling it. Like he was like, it kind of sounds like me, you know, like he was just like, so it's like, but that just became easier for everyone to be, you know, have access to. And I think, you know, strong vocals on a track will definitely give you an advantage. And I'd say, you know, over listening to demos over the years, the quality of demos are getting better and better. And a lot of the songs on Surf Music, I play Surf, I just play our playlists and our top picks of the week, you know, just while I'm, you know, driving and whatnot. And sometimes I get confused whether it's Spotify I'm listening to or Surf, because it sounds so good. It's mixed and mastered, and it's like, you know, these songs sound ready. But I know a lot of them are using, like, say, for example, AI mastering tools that detect the genre and master it accordingly. There's AI right now that can do full mixes for you. You just throw in the stems and it mixes it for you. And all this, you know, and people, some of them use, you know, like ChatGPT to write lyrics, you know, but they obviously shuffle it around, change the words around a little bit. But, you know, there's no stopping AI, and there's no, like, you know, I think we just have to find ways to incorporate it that still maintain that, you know, that creator's, I don't know, identity, if you want to call it. It's a really fine line, well, but it'll be interesting to see how,
I mean, I think, look, there's a couple ways that we can interpret this, right? It's just like, it's a new tool, right? Mm-hmm. I think if human beings still like to be entertained by people, it's a thing. Maybe that goes away. Mm-hmm. Then ultimately, I think there'll probably be a lot more performers, and it might put performance and skill back on the table of what's the most important thing, right? Because mm-hmm. like the sort of writer, producer, like performer was a thing of the 90s, and it kind of came in a bunch of different gradations. And, like, you know, I think the music industry is like presented this facade for, you know, it's entertainment, right? So you get entertainment layer, and then you've got how the entertainment's made. Nobody really wants to know how the sausage is made of, but and it doesn't matter, right? Like, but,
it tastes good. So,
yeah, it's entertainment, right? Ultimately, that's what we want. We want to be entertained by entertainment. So I think the bigger conversation is like, how is the more powerful music industry lawyer teams going to react to and slow down the progress, right? And if we learned anything from the Napster era, it seems like there might be an opportunity to approach this one differently, but. Mm-hmm. You know, who knows? You know, I think there's a lot to be said about basically the next creative genius becoming what they were meant to be, but not having to spend all their time learning a guitar or piano or anything else. They spend all their time on how to become a master at performance or social media marketing or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think also the landscape is going to change. And there's been, you know, several virtual artists that have made it also, even in Asia. And it's just so easy now to create your own artist. And as long as you have good music and the core, I mean, they look real, like the choreography and everything, you know, it looks very, very real. And I think, you know, that might be something that, you know, a new trend where when you create music, you're not only creating music, but you're creating an artist with that. And then you start signing your artists to record labels or release it yourself. There might be a day when that comes, when you're actually a creator, but also a manager. And also, you know, and all these virtual artists come up. And, you know, there's you know, we were at South By a couple of months ago, actually this March. And, you know, we were actually selected as the finalists for in the tech division, the media division. But you know, when we went to a bunch of these seminars, one that we actually went to, they were able to scan an artist's body and from there basically perform in a music video without the artist even, you know,
was that being Move? There. Was that Move.ai?
It wasn't Move. I forgot the name of it, but it was pretty impressive. And they were saying that this can be used in, you know, in a metaverse concert. You could have different concerts going on, so you don't even have to like leave your house. It's crazy. And you know, one of our advisors is this artist called Verbal from the group M Flow, which is huge in Japan. And he was the one that was on the panel talking about this, and he got his body scanned, and just seeing it was just like, wow, like this is the future. It's like, you know, then there's no stopping it. And we have to maintain a flexible, you know, a flexible mind in order to digest all this technology, but also to think of, okay, how can we apply this technology into entertainment? And, you know, and it's going to be continuously evolving. And I think it's going to like accelerate too, if anything. And I'm just playing a game of catch up here, you know, reading as much as I can about it, you know, trying out the different softwares and whatnot.
Have you guys ever considered do you have the right terms and conditions to do this, but do you ever considered having, you know, building a model off the music that gets added into the platform?
I mean, that definitely is, you mean like a music video kind of thing?
No, like actually building a training model off of bodies of music, which is ultimately the underlying like information source of any AI, right? Is you take a training set and you run it through.
Yes, we are actually doing that. So all the data, every time a song is processed or a request is made and that 3D print of that waveform is taken out, we store all that data so that when another search comes up that's similar to that, we don't have to rerun it through and it already knows this model. And you know, that can be applied. We're collecting all the data so that in the future we can apply it to different applications within our platform.
Cool. Interesting, yes. Man. So if you were to put your 5-year from now cap on, what do you think is going to be the thing? Just in general, maybe not related to surf, just like in music, for music tech, music. What do you think?
I think a lot more virtual artists will be coming up and a lot more people are going to be able to make music because of the help of AI. And so it'll almost be like, you know, if you have a computer and you needed music for your video content, it's, you know, you could be able to prompt it and create it yourself. So that I think the sync space is gonna change too. Once you give access to people, non-musicians, can now make, you know, great music for their content. And also, you know, in terms of artists, there's going to be a lot more, there's going to be an influx of artists and creators too, just because of the ease of how, you know, just how easy it's been to create a song. And, you know, back in the day, I'd spend 3-4 days making just the track to get the kick sounding right and this and that. And now literally my son, actually, he's 6 years old, and he collaborated with Jay Lauren, who's a multi-platinum Grammy Award winning a creator too, a writer. And we're actually pitching his song to certain Korean idols right now. And it's gone to that age where, you know, my son can make music just using Loop Cloud, you know, setting the key and setting the BPM, putting loops together, and then bam, the song is done. And it only takes him an hour and a half. So it is pretty incredible. And the song that he made, I was blown away. And, you know, Jay was like really blown away too. And she was like, give me more. And he's turning 7, but he's made like 3 songs already, 3 tracks. And you know, he's actually our youngest member in Surf, you know, and he's actually choosing producers that he wants to work with. And he can now communicate with them via our auto-translate chat. So, you know, all say, for example, he just has to type in English, it gets translated to Japanese if they send it to Japanese. So it's like it's borderless, and just to see in 5 years there's going to be an influx of creators, and especially young creators. You know, I see elementary kids, middle school kids being able to make music that's in par with the market. And you know, and for that, this is where Surf Music comes in. It's, you know, as a parent, you know, if my 6-year-old kid made a song, would I try to go get him a record deal or shop him to a publisher or find a manager? Probably not. But all they have to do is sign up for a Surf account. And now automatically the AI will start pulling music that's requested. And if his song matches the brief, then it will be pitched. So, you know, I think, you know, we just have to be ready to be able to scale and really think of different opportunities that, you know, once there's an influx of creators, how can we support them and whatnot. But I think it will be very interesting, and I think, you know, AI will play a big part. And, you know, it might come to a point where you're like, you know, is that artist a real artist or are they virtual? I can't tell. You know, like it's gonna come to that level, right? And it has to some extent.
Here's the interesting part, I think, about that, right? Like if it becomes that ubiquitous, right? If mm-hmm. if art is kind of commonplace, right? Like you could make a song, will it be interesting anymore? Like if it's just too much, it's like you mm-hmm. just walk outside and there's just piles of plastic everything around you. It feels noisy. Just, I don't know, like putting my skeptic hat on, it feels like, oh, well then I don't know. That's not like there's something about scarcity in the human brain that makes what we like more interesting when it's scarce. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like built into our caveman brain of like, not enough food, must eat right now, you know?
Yeah. And I agree. And I think the industry is getting oversaturated with music, and it's all about curation and AI being able to curate to find the right music you want to listen to. But at the same time, you know, it can be less interesting, you know, like, because basically this machine is learning, you know, learning different models based on previous catalogs and, you know, how... were the musicians that create something completely new. I think there still will be people that are going to try to push the borders, the boundaries. But once that boundary is pushed and there's success in that, the AI is going to definitely learn that, and that's going to be part of their repertoire. So I think people that are in the forefront of, you know, pushing the boundaries of music will still be there, and there will be that, you know, interesting new sound, those new trends and whatnot. But, you know, there are always the followers too in the creator's side. It's like, oh, like Justin Bieber did this up-tempo thingy and that's in. All right, let's everyone make it. And then a lot of that's how the industry is, you know, like we get a hit song. Totally. And like Neo used that four on the floor, like kick on his thing. And everyone was like, okay, let's go. Let's all go like electro now. Four on the floor is cool. Like back in the day, it was like, you wouldn't see a rapper singing on a four on the floor beat, like, you know, but it just takes that one person to really push that boundary for everyone to follow. And I think the people that push the boundaries, you know, they'll definitely be creative and constantly be creative. But the people that follow will maybe, you know, lean towards using AI to create something like that, that sounds like it, you know, like, and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So it'll be very interesting to see, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. I find the whole discussion to be interesting. I don't know if we have any idea what's in store for us, to be honest. I mean, look at the, it's like every week something's like, it's like step functions weekly, right? And so in, you know, a year's time, you know, let's say we could have the compute power to keep it going like that. Like what will happen or what's going to be, what's more interesting to me is this question. What will be interesting to me and the rest of the people around me when all this becomes like whatever it ends up being, and there's just lots and lots of noise. Mm-hmm. What'll be interesting to you and I anymore? Will it just be like, fuck it, I'm shutting everything out, I'm gonna go like hang out in the forest? Or will we go back in time, we go future time? Like, what is the, do we want to, like, is it dog song, like songs for dogs? That our new Neuralink will like be able to translate dog songs. Mm-hmm. Like, what is
Nick, what I must say about that, what makes it interesting for each of us is based upon what we grew up listening to. What are you know, our musical influences? And for, you know, I had an interesting conversation with a young producer, and you know, I was telling him, like, I don't get trap music. Like, when trap music was big, I was like, I don't get it, you know? And then, you know, he literally told me, he was like, that means you're getting old. And it's true. It's like, that makes sense. Because, like, the music I listened to, you know, growing up, my parents were like, oh, it's too loud. What are you listening to? Oh, no, put on Frank Sinatra. You know, like, to them, that was interesting. But to me, it was like, you know, pop music, R&B, that was interesting. For my son, he's 6 years old. He keeps listening to K-pop. He loves Stray Kids. And that, to him, that's interesting. But, like, you know, it really depends on what are your influences? What did you listen to growing up? What memories are connected to that, to those songs that make you who you are as a musician today? You know, like all these factors, I think interesting is, it will be defined by what they've been listening to as they grow up.
It's interesting. Yeah,
I buy that too. Go ahead, Brian.
I say though, could, I know that we're running low on time here, but just something that in case we do a part two here in the future, Ken. Think at the rise of the virtual AI pop star, there could be maybe a legacy tour with the original Milli Vanilli, who were the first virtual pop stars.
I mean, I think, you know, they should get their Grammys back first and foremost. Just give it back to them.
What the heck? People are thinking all over the place on TikTok and they're rewarded. We've been criminalized for 30 years. Who knows?
Yeah, their time will come. Their time will come. Will come.
Great stuff, Ken. Great to meet you. Anything that we missed as far as where people could find Surf Music? I know that that's a Google search that could bring up a lot of Dick Dale and the
Venture. Yeah, so if anyone's interested in signing up, they just go to www.discover.surf. And from there, you know, they just click on if they're a creator or they're on the buyer side. Creators can sign up, and it's $50 per month for the creator's account. But we will be giving out discount codes to you guys to share, hopefully, when you send out your emails and whatnot, so people could get in at a discounted price. on the buyer's side, you cannot sign up automatically. We have to actually talk with you and make sure you're verified, because obviously all the music that we have on our platform is unreleased, and you know, creators are, you know, we are very, very our securities are really, really big part of Surf. So
excellent.
So, yeah, if you're interested, please come by www.discover.surf and open an account with us.
Can't wait.
All right.
Awesome. Great stuff.
Great conversation. Enjoy the surf for real in Hawaii, where you're at. And
thank you.
Look forward to chatting with you again, man.
Absolutely.
Likewise. Thank you for having us.
Anytime, Ken. We'll talk to you soon, all right?
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye. Yeah.